You're listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, episode number 131. We're talking today about how to boost your self-confidence. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, stories of vibrant women living happy lives. And now your host, Jen Ryday.
Welcome, everyone. Some good news. Time Mastery for Women is open for enrollment. Stay all the way to the end to listen why you need to join us in Time Mastery for Women and how to do so. I'm so excited to let you know I'll be talking with Claire Shipman today, who helped write The Confidence Code and The Confidence Code for Girls, two fantastic books that help address the difference between men and women in terms of confidence. You know, we women and teenage girls have a little bit less testosterone, but that doesn't mean that we can't be fiercely confident women. You're going to love this episode. But first, I want to share our review of the week. And that comes from Enjoyable Life. That's her username. She wrote, "By divine providence, I found this podcast and I really made it a goal of mine to be a vibrant, happy woman and inspire others to be the same. Thank you, Jen." Hey, thank you. And I love that you left that review. I love that you took the time. It means a lot to know that you're out there listening and that you appreciate what we bring you every week. Everyone else listening, do me a favor. If you receive any value at all from this podcast, take a moment now and leave us a review. You can do so at jenryday.com/review. That will tell you how to do it. Or if you're pretty tech savvy, just go to jenryday.com/iTunes and leave that review. It helps so much. Well, as I mentioned, I'm going to be talking with Claire Shipman in this interview today. And she spent 14 years as a regular contributor to Good Morning America and for ABC News. She served as a White House correspondent for NBC News, and she worked for CNN covering the White House and was posted in Moscow for 5 years. What a fun life, right? She's now a member of Columbia University's Board of Trustees and lives in Washington, D.C. with her husband, son, daughter, and a pack of dogs. Claire is the co-author of The Confidence Code and The Confidence Code for Girls, Taking Risks, Messing Up, and Becoming Your Amazingly Imperfect and Totally Powerful Self. Whoa, right? That could be the title of this podcast. And you're going to love all the tips she shares about helping your girls and yourself to be more confident. So let's go ahead and dive right into this interview. My guest today is Claire Shipman, and she's a journalist, author, and public speaker. Claire, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, let's start off the show today with a favorite quote from you that might lead us into our topic, or any quote, really.
You know, one of my favorite quotes is actually a quote my daughter pointed out to me 4 or 5 years ago, and it's a Gandhi quote, which is, "Be the change you want to see in the world." And it just reminds me, it just reminds me about everything I want to do, all the way down to just my daily life and parenting, which is, you know, it's so important to just act the way I want my children to act, right? Act mm-hmm. toward them the way I would like to see them acting toward either me or other people. And, you know, role modeling is so important, but it's just, I think it's so easy to sit back and dream and think about all of the ways we should be and to judge other people for the way they are. But the hard stuff is just one step at a time, you know, representing what you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I know we're going to dive in and talk about building confidence for girls, and that's all based mm-hmm. on your book, The Confidence Code. Tell us the story of where you decided, hey, we need this change in the world, and how you got to the point of taking such amazing action on that topic.
Well, I worked as a journalist for a long time, as you heard in my bio. And one of the things I struggled with quite a bit 10 years ago, really, was balancing motherhood and work. And as we know, for those of us who have children, motherhood really does change you. Mm-hmm. But I will also say it's broader than that, that I think what I've come to realize after an enormous amount of research about women and work, and I wrote a couple of other books about that, is that women often want different things out of our lives than men might. And we value different things in the workplace. So often it's, you know, whether you have children or not, we're often making different calculations about what's valuable and how do we want to spend our time and what's worth it. And kids can exacerbate that. So my friend and I wrote a book called Womenomics initially, which was about women and work, our approach to work, what would make things better, working more flexibly, all the great data that shows what women bring to the bottom line of companies. It was really exciting. But we noticed this trend where we would talk to women who were unbelievably successful and to us looked unbelievably confident. And they would say things to us like, well, I don't think I'm ready for this promotion. My boss wants me to do this. I don't know if I can do it. And it was just this like, you know, they were awash in doubt, which was really surprising to us. I mean, of course, because we always felt like we're awash in doubt, but we didn't know anyone else was. And so we started doing research about confidence, and we came to realize that, in fact, especially in the workplace, there's a pretty big gap in confidence between men and women. And in the course of reporting that out and looking at the science and origins of confidence and what makes it, what we realized is that this confidence gap between men and women actually seems to start at puberty for girls. And that really intrigued us, but we didn't, you know, we wrote this adult book for women called The Confidence Code. And then when we were thinking about what do we want to do next, we just thought, gosh, what if we could do something that gets people focused on this at an age when it's easier to make a change? Mm-hmm. And so that's what this book is about.
And tell us the full title of the second book.
So this book is called Confidence Code. Of course, it's not that original because it's, you know, The Confidence Code for Girls. But the subtitle is Taking Risks, Messing Up, and Becoming Your Amazingly Imperfect, Totally Powerful Self.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I love this.
That is everything. That's basically right there is the recipe for confidence, which is, you know, taking risks, failing, getting over it. You know, that's how you build confidence. You know, and being yourself, you're really never going to be fully confident unless you feel you're able to embrace authenticity.
So how do you present this to girls? Are they being given this book by their mothers? Are there workshops? I mean, I would be so curious to see how girls receive this, you know, especially in a group.
Well, yes, me too. So we wrote the book. The book is targeted at 8 to 12-year-old girls, but I actually think it probably goes all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. It's heavily illustrated. It's got a lot of graphic novel panels, and it's full of scenarios and quizzes and lists. And, you know, so it, because the idea of a self-help book basically for the 8 to 12-year-old set was just like, what? Like, that's just other than puberty books, right? Like, there's just nothing particularly that says girls are dying for this kind of nonfiction book. And so we really tried to make it kind of with an enormous number of stories from real girls written in a way that was just kind of interactive as we could make it. But I think that the real value will come. We just did an event here in Washington at a local school, and they had given the book to sort of 4th through 8th grade. And we tried some really interactive exercises on this subject and just getting girls to name what feels risky to them. And that's different for everybody, to help each other through proposed failure scenarios, you know, like you don't make the play and then what are you going to do? And, you know, give them some tools, but then get them involved and helping each other out. And it was just fabulous. I was so excited. So I agree with you. I mean, my real hope is that like counselors might adopt it. And when they're meeting with girls in groups in schools, we've been talking to the Girl Scouts about different ways to use it. So I think having it be a tool would be my goal. But I certainly think like parents giving it to their daughters will be effective. I don't know how many girls are going to rush up to it in a bookstore and jump up and down and say, buy me this book.
Right, right. Well, it's such a great title. It seems like the perfect book when a girl does, you know, become an adolescent, even though you said it's geared for 8 to 12, anywhere in that range where you sense they're starting to feel more like an adolescent, you know, taking risks, messing up, and becoming your amazingly imperfect and totally powerful self. Is that right? Okay, so when you had this opportunity to share it in the schools, what kind of answers were you hearing from the girls about what feels risky to you or getting through failures? I'd be so curious.
I mean, it was really interesting. We had everything from getting a B was risky, talking to my parents, talking to asking a teacher for help, jumping off a cliff. You know, so there were some physical things like swimming really deep in the ocean. But a lot of them had to do with school, right? Really bad grades were very common. Telling a friend something hard, talking to someone you don't know, trying out for a sport. Mm-hmm. So in a way, what you would expect, but I was really struck by, you know, the level of anxiety around school and grades, especially.
And what would be the main difference that you start to see in that age between boys and girls in terms of risk taking and failure?
Well, yes, that's a great question and so important. And I think I'm going to take one step back and say, you know, we spent years literally researching what confidence is and how you make it. And I'm going to give you the shortest possible definition. This is the shortcut, which is first, confidence is what turns our thoughts into action. So it's really important to understand that confidence is about action. It's not just, I feel like a good person, right? That's self-esteem. Ooh. So confidence is like this grease that propels us to act. And I think what we found in general with women is that, like, often we're great at thinking and we think a lot, but we often hesitate before we act, right? Uh-huh. And part of that is because we don't, you know, things seem riskier to us. Mm-hmm. You know, the same task, the same challenge, the same put your hand up for this job, say you're going to go do X, you know, whatever it is, can feel a lot riskier to us than it might our male colleague. And so we'll often want to perfect it first, or we often think we're not ready, right? So we're sort of constantly judging ourselves too harshly. And that is something that we have in a way. It's of course, it's nature and nurture, but it's a little bit more nature than we thought, right? So we looked at the brain. We saw that there's some things that go on in our brain and in different ways we use our brain that help our brain kind of operate in a more cautious way. Mm-hmm. We're kind of better at seeing, looking out at the future, you know, better at, you know, we all know this, multitasking, all of this kind of stuff. We can keep more things in our mind. But a lot of that means that we're kind of aware of the consequences of everything, much more so than boys or men. So this kind of thinking, these thinking patterns often kick in at puberty. Testosterone, which boys get a big boost of at puberty, is actually encourages risk taking. So there's been incredibly interesting studies, right, that have been done on men who sort of higher levels of testosterone mean riskier stock trades. And it's really well documented and pretty fascinating. We really don't have those levels of testosterone. We have estrogen instead. And men, estrogen's awesome in terms of bonding, higher EQ, being more conciliatory, you know, sort of pulling people together, like actually incredibly useful skills and incredibly useful in the workplace, but not always fully valued yet. Mm-hmm. But so what all that can mean is that here's the other trick. So if confidence is about action, how do you create it? Well, the way you create it is it's like a virtuous circle by taking action. So the process of taking a risk, trying, struggling, maybe failing, and then working through it, that's what builds more confidence. So if you want to stockpile confidence, you have to get that chain reaction moving. And it's not moving as much for girls as it is for boys, because boys, like girls, just start on this trajectory pretty young. And then it goes into overdrive at puberty to be perfect, right? We're kind of risk averse, we're cautious, and we want to get everything right all the time. And teachers and parents encourage that. Mm. Boys kind of mess up more naturally. And they learn that it's okay to mess up. It's okay to take chances. Like, the sky didn't fall on my head. It's going to be okay. And so this was our aha moment in understanding that, like, nobody's intentionally telling girls you can't achieve this, right? It's almost this culture of perfection and overachievement that's keeping girls from learning that it's okay to fail. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need for the real world. Like, it doesn't, you know, perfection is not really valued in the real world. Right.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, no boss is going to say, oh, like, let me pat you on the head. Look, you've done this assignment perfectly. Now you get the big job. That's not how it works.
Right. Right. Well, so there's so many ways you could attack this quote unquote problem. Maybe helping girls increase testosterone with, you know, have you heard of Amy Cuddy with the power posing?
Yes.
I think that slightly raises testosterone. But I mean, what would you say would be the best approach to increasing that confidence for girls?
You know, well, it is funny because we said this jokingly in our adult book, like, even though testosterone boosts risk taking, we're not saying, oh, girls and women should go slap on testosterone patches. you know, sort of do that. Because in fact, they've done some interesting studies and they've with women wearing testosterone patches and found that, you know, then they work less well together. And then they, you know, there are a lot of disadvantages that come with that.
Oh,
and
we
don't really need those disadvantages, right? I mean, actually, they're kind of the same disadvantages you see in men all the time, right? But we don't need to, you know, have those. So what we think is the best thing to do is just to help girls understand at a young enough age when it's easier to make this change that failure's okay, you know, that it's all right to try, that there's a lot of value in trying something, having it not work out and learning from it. Because, you know, one of the best test cases of this that we've seen is in competitive sports. And there's a lot of really interesting data that shows that the longer a girl plays on a team or in competitive sports of any kind, right, through high school and college, the higher level she reaches and the more money she makes in the work world.
Wow.
It kind of directly affects their leadership abilities. And it's not because you have to be an athlete to achieve. It's because for now, athletics is one of the easiest forums in which girls can fail and lose regularly, and they put up with it. Because, again, like I said, boys will do this constantly on their own, right? I mean, I just look at my son. Like, he's happily messes up constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what I tell him, it's just like, oh, yeah, did you send an email to the teacher? Yes. Oh, no, turns out I didn't. You know, and I would be quaking inside. And he's just like, whatever, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's just a sort of a more natural attitude. And, you know, so I think encouraging that in girls, in all, you know, not just in athletics and other opportunities, the more parents can do that and the more girls can understand it's okay to embrace some risk, then I think we kind of, you know, just move the needle a little bit so that our confidence is more in line with our capabilities.
If you're doing everything right, but still can't lose the weight, listen up. You need to check out the 7-Day Stop, Drop, and Swap Challenge. It was created by JJ Virgin, New York Times bestselling author of The Virgin Diet, and she has helped hundreds of thousands of women identify their food intolerances so they can eat what's right for their bodies. It is not only made for helping you to lose weight, but to increase that vitality and energy, which we want so we can be our most vibrant and happy selves. I've been doing the 7-Day Stop, Drop, and Swap Challenge, and I am feeling very, very successful. I really, literally, kid you not, have not had food deprivation issues. Often when I try diets like this in the past, I would get headaches, I'd have withdrawal, but this time it's way different. And I have lost over 10 pounds in that 2 weeks. The food is delicious, totally delicious. My husband watched me cooking the food the first week, and the second week he wanted me to make double portions. So we are in together. He doesn't need to lose weight, but the food just tastes really good. Well, you can sign up for this free challenge by going to jjvirgin.com/happy. You'll get all the recipes, meal plans, trackers, and support you need to swap out the 7 foods most likely to cause food intolerance. You get a quick video every day from JJ and lots of helpful links and resources like the private Facebook group where you can get 24/7 help from trained health coaches and even from JJ herself. So you can get more information and sign up to join me by going to jjvirgin.com/happy. I want to say this is the best thing I've tried in a long time, and it's working. So check it out. Again, go to jjvirgin.com/happy.
So my kids are no longer in diapers, thank goodness. But if they were, I wish I had known about The Honest Company. The Honest Company cares about what you're using on and around your babies. And they recently launched their brand new diapers with amazing leak protection. Now I say that, but really, these diapers hold 17 times their weight in fluid. But they're not made with anything strange or cancer-causing. Instead, they're made with sustainably harvested fluff pulp and other plant-derived materials. No chlorine processing, no latex, no fragrances, no lotions. And 4 out of 5 moms would recommend the new Honest diapers. And this is based on a blind test of 400 moms using all the Honest sizes. The best thing about Honest is their bundle options. The diapers and wipes bundle offers the best deal on a monthly supply of diapers and wipes, giving you $17 off each shipment. And the bundle gets delivered on a schedule that you control and can customize. If you have babies in diapers, listen up. They have created a Vibrant Happy Women listeners only deal of $25 off your first month's diapers and wipes shipment. And all you have to do is go to honest.com/happy and use promo code HONEST at checkout. Again, go to honest.com/happy. That's honest.com/happy. And use promo code HONEST to get $25 off your first diapers and wipes shipment.
You have a daughter. And so how have you tried to apply this with your own daughter, if that's not too personal?
No, it's not at all. You know, of course, because I wrote a book on this, that naturally means she wants nothing to do with it. And
yes.
Almost everything I talk about is stupid, especially since she just turned 13.
Uh-huh.
But it's really helped me not overparent her and not be a helicopter parent, because I'm pretty obsessive. I'm still a recovering perfectionist. And I think I see now that she spent a lot of years as a tomboy wanting to wear different kind of clothes, not wash her hair, and I was finally able to realize, yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. And she's going to learn some great stuff from being willing to be different.
Yeah.
I've encouraged her to do things she's not good at, which is not easy. It's not, none of this is easy with a teenage girl. I mean, but I've really tried to also just, I mean, my son actually got mad at me the other day because I was telling my daughter, I was like, you're really, it's okay. You're in middle school. Really, grades do not matter. Just stop. You've done enough homework. And my son looked at me and said, you never told me that in middle school. You told me the opposite. I was like, well, that's because you weren't working.
Yeah.
She's overworking.
Right, right. Oh, that's so funny. Well, and that's got to be hard. And as you said, that allowed her to, you know, be different. I think our natural tendency, even mine, and as you said it, I wasn't aware I had this, but I have 3 boys first, then 3 girls. But I want to protect my girls from having their feelings hurt, because I know with their higher EQ, it's just so tender and sensitive, and the boys just shake it off, you know? So I don't want to let her fail, at least socially. I want to be protective, but wow, that's great.
It is hard. I mean, it's very hard to endure, right? It's hard to endure our kids' psychic stress.
Yes.
And I think that is one thing I've had to get good at, is just to sit with it, listen, and then kind of convey somehow that, hey, you're going to work through it, you know? And that's what I tell, like, some of the most powerful ways you can parent on this stuff is, which is hard for me because my memory is so bad, but to try to remember. So if you ever in a scenario where sort of, if my daughter didn't make one soccer team years ago, that she was really sad, and finally actually went and tried out for a different one, made this one, and then be able to remind her a year later, look what's happened. You were so upset. You took a risk, and now look where you are, right? So it's, if whenever you can connect the dots like that and tell them a sort of a complete story, that's really valuable.
So have you seen examples or research of, I guess it would be really hard to have research, but it would be really interesting if we could analyze somehow parents who are better at doing this, encouraging the failure and the long-term outcomes when these girls are applying for jobs. Any ideas about that?
You're right. There's really not data about parenting, and it would be great to have. The best data that I've seen that's really measured and been vetted is the data about girls in sports. And the people who've done all that feel very confident that a lot of it just really has to do with exposure to loss, right? And therefore building of resilience and confidence. I think that, you know, anecdotally, you do hear a lot that girls who have fathers who've really put them in positions where they're, you know, just go out there and do it, fail, whatever, it doesn't matter, which is a more of a male attitude generally. And the fathers have kind of, you know, mentored their daughters in a way, even through school or professionally, that pays off. Like I heard a story one time from the woman who was the founder of Spanx, talking about that her father really was the driver of this family ethos about failing. And every day at the dinner table, he'd say, okay, how did you fail today?
Ooh.
And right? I mean, I love that. And you know, one thing, we did a poll when we released the book, and one of the interesting findings, I mean, we found that girls' confidence really does start to drop much more precipitously than boys at around age 8. But that often fathers are better at recognizing a lack of confidence in their daughters than mothers are. And so I think understanding that dads really may have something unique to offer girls is important, right?
Yeah.
That what we as wives or mothers or whatever may, ex-wives, whoever we are, may feel frustrated by and think, oh, why isn't he paying attention to her feelings? And he's just, you know, why is he telling her to go do this? That in fact, that may be the best recipe.
Oh my gosh, you just gave me a total like breakthrough. Sorry, I get excited about these things, but I do that exact thing.
Good.
My husband will kind of call my daughter out and I'll be protective. And maybe I should let her totally experience that so she knows she can. I don't know. Because society has really come to this place of probably over-coddling children. I would imagine most of us would agree on that. But wow.
Yes.
How did you get through a hard relationship experience today to teach my daughter that? That would be great.
So hard.
How did you endure your brother's teasing today? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, exactly. Our brains, that's exhausting, right? So we try in the book to put a name to it and explain it so they can recognize, oh, and we have this section where we call it, you know, are you being a mind reader? Are you set in stone? Are you a catastrophic thinker, right? Catastrophic thinker is just what it is, right? What you think it is, just, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so didn't call me. And now that means nobody's going to like me and I'll never get invited to the prom and I won't graduate from high school. And then I won't, you know, that, you know, mind reader is where you're sure you know what everyone else is thinking, usually about you, right? I know they're thinking this about me and that, and they're spending all their time and, you know, and the kind of set in stone is the, I might as well give up because, you know, like one bad math grade, I'm just never going to go to college. Right. And there's nothing I can do about it. And I think it's important to try to recognize those patterns and then help climb out of them to some extent. And it's really, we give them some tools for doing that, which really have to do with, the best tool is just coming up with a different explanation for any of these things you're ruminating about. You know, when you're thinking about, you know, some embarrassing thing that happened in class, even taking 10 seconds to think, maybe people really weren't paying attention, right? Just forcing yourself to have that one thought can stop this cognitive tornado that's going on. And so it's really powerful, you know, and then there's a lot of other ways you can deal with it by, you know, taking 10 minutes to read a book, which kind of lights up a different part of your brain. So you're able to calm
to stop the rumination.
Amygdala down. Exactly. So I think it's important to know that it's, you know, knowing what's happening inside of us is really important.
So what do you think explains, just generally speaking, maybe even across both genders, why are some kids just more confident than others? I mean, I know it's a mix of nature and nurture, but...
and we were surprised when we did the research for the women's book to find that confidence is partly genetic. So there really are some genes, and it's not gender specific, by the way. We thought, oh yeah, men just have some confidence gene and that's what it is. No, not really. There are three or four genes that they know of right now, and this research is only just beginning, but that if you have a certain variant, you're more likely to have kind of easy access to confidence, right? So a lot of it has to do with this combination of your genes and then how you're raised, right?
Okay.
And they've studied this extensively in monkeys. So it's actually really fascinating because what they found is that conversely, you can take a child with incredibly sensitive genes. And the sensitive genes are the ones that might be more likely to cause anxiety, right? But if that kid is raised in a way by a mother who's really kind of paying attention and on it, and I'm talking about monkeys now, but it transfers, the scientists think, that baby monkey is more likely to thrive than even the monkeys who were born with the more resilient genes.
So
it's interesting, right? Like if that baby monkey hits a bad patch, right, and his mom dies and everything's awful, he's going to be more likely to be anxious, right? Because he's just got, you know. So it is this interesting mix of nature nurture, but I think that it, you know, it's understanding that, you know, you got to acclimate your kids to this experiential learning, right? Of the risk-taking and the failure. And I have seen it in my own daughter. I mean, she's pretty sensitive. Like, Katty and I tested our genes. We found out we have horribly unconfident genes, which I would have guessed, right? Like, I'm more prone to anxiety. And so my kids are too, probably. And my daughter is really sensitive. But I have seen over the last couple of years that just with exposure to trying things, taking risks, being very deliberate about it, because she doesn't embrace it, right? It's just slow, but that she's learning and she's more willing to do stuff. It's, you know, it's not like, it doesn't come as easily as it does for my son, but I think you can, you know, you can get there.
Yeah. I like how you said exposure, taking risks, being deliberate. So we really need to, I was just seeing an article the other day, how parents are way more likely to tell girls, oh, you can't travel alone, you can't walk alone. And I'm sure those statements over and over and over compound to make them not want to take risks or expose themselves to new things. So just being aware, I suppose.
I know it is hard to, I think that one area, which is safety, physical safety, is really tough, right? Because, and I'm conscious of that with my daughter too. I want her to not feel afraid. But then I also don't want to be stupid.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, so it is tough. It's tough.
Right. Right. Well, this is fantastic. Everyone make sure to read, if you have girls especially in your life, make sure to read The Confidence Code for Girls and give it to the important girls in your life. What's ahead for this movement? I think it's a movement you've started. What do you think's coming next as part of this?
Well, we're thinking about some other books, but I'm also really excited about the idea of creating a curriculum and maybe an online interactive curriculum for confidence.
Yes. My daughter will test
it
for you.
I think it would be great. Oh, good. That would be great. Yeah. I just think it's the way kids learn now, and it's, I think that some of these socio-emotional skills you can really learn through scenario-based education. And I think online is just a great way to do it, like sort of gamified learning. So I would love to pursue that and see what we can create.
That's really great. And you almost need a parents' curriculum as well. So parents are constantly made aware when they're not teaching girls to go ahead and fail. Hooray for failure, you know? So
Exactly. And the other thing I'll say too, by the way, is like, it's a relief too, to know, because just when you're suffering for your child who's failed, right, you can at least tell yourself, oh, right, this is going to be a growth experience. This is good. He needs some failure. She needs some failure, right? So it's a way to get through this as a parent and not overreact to failure.
Yeah. And I think as a society, there's a cool shift happening there. You know, how we start to celebrate failures various CEOs might have had or before they got to the top or whatever. So,
yes, exactly.
Well, I'll remind our listeners, we'll have a link to your book and anything else we've talked about on our show notes page at jenridey.com/131. And now our big question we like to ask at the end of the show. Claire, what does it mean for you to be a vibrant, happy woman?
Such a great question. So I love that. I just love that thought. For me, being a vibrant, happy woman means being calm and centered in my brain, because my brain can get a little bit overactive. And so when I can feel kind of calm and in the moment, and sometimes I do that with meditation or sometimes with swimming, I just feel like I can contribute to the world and my family in a really positive way. So that's my vibrant, happy woman recipe.
Perfect. Being calm and centered. That's exactly what I'm focusing on right now. I hear you. Well, thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much for being on the show, Claire. I loved it. I can't wait to make sure my daughter learns how to fail. So thank you so much.
Good.
I mean, that sounds funny. That sounds so funny. But I mean, I want to teach her to celebrate failure. That's part of it, you know? So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it.
Before I go today, I want to let you know that Time Mastery for Women is open for enrollment, and it's the complete A to Z system that will help you get organized, find balance, and create time for the things you love. Now, how do you know if this is for you? Well, if you feel like you're in the deep end of the pool, treading water, barely keeping your head out of the water, and you just want to get out and take a break, then Time Mastery is perfect for you. Or maybe if you fall into bed exhausted at night after spending your entire day on a never-ending to-do list that just keeps getting longer, you would love Time Mastery for Women. Or maybe you want to spend more quality time with your family and your loved ones, but you don't know how to squeeze it in. You want to do more of what matters, maybe even live your purpose. Well, if this sounds like you, then you should definitely join us in Time Mastery for Women. We start on Monday, October 1st, and we're going to rock it out in 4 short weeks. You're going to learn how to pinpoint your priorities and create a vision and legacy statement, how to have a mountain moment, how to create solid morning and evening routines, how to reach email mastery and inbox zero. You'll learn how to have a week at a glance, a system where you can put every piece of all those pieces of information floating in your brain into this system so you don't have to keep it in your brain anymore. It's all good to go, either in a digital format on your phone or on paper format on the wall, whatever you like to do. And then we work really hard on identifying your purpose and your passions, the things you were probably born to do. And you know what's funny? When you're not doing those things, when you're not using your talents or doing the things you were born to do, you start to feel empty and out of balance and exhausted. And if that's you, that's your inner GPS saying, hey, girl, you need to make a change. And that's why Time Mastery for Women is perfect, because we talk all about this. Finally, we work really hard on mindset in this program. We talk about guilt and perfectionism and the shoulds, and we let go of all of that and start following that inner voice, our intuition. So it becomes way easier to establish boundaries and say no to the things that aren't a priority for you. Time Mastery for Women will really change your life. So why is this different than other time management programs out there? Well, it's the only one out there that's built specifically for women. You know, we have a unique experience with work and motherhood and volunteering and household tasks and all the things we do, but not to mention, we also think differently than men. And so we need a program that is just for us. It's also the only system that will teach you how to get your family on board with time management. It's not just for you, but it's for your whole family. Then finally, it's the only program of its kind that works on mindset, like guilt, perfectionism, shame, happiness, and then those healthy boundaries that help us preserve our precious energy. So I would love to have you join us. You can go to timemasteryforwomen.com and read more, but you need to get in this week because we start on Monday, October 1st. Again, go to timemasteryforwomen.com. I would love to have you in there with us. I would love to meet you. I would love to see you succeed in this area and start to really feel more balance and joy in your life. Again, that's at timemasteryforwomen.com. Thank you for being here. I'll be back later this week with a happy bit. And until then, make it a fantastic week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women podcast at www.jenryday.com.